The Bible says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Brother Marty started out and says, I hope there'll be one name lifted up. But then it made me think that he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wait a minute. Brother Marty said just one name. But he said he's going to be called all these other names. And have you thought about how many names God is called? But without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. And, you know, that's what that Paul told Timothy. He said, there's no mystery in this. That he was justified, he was seen of angels, he was preached unto men, and he's carried on up to glory. But there's no controversy in these things that he's talking about. And here I found it right here. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, receive up into glory. So what I'm talking to you tonight is without controversy. Then Brother Dan started out his sermon, what he was speaking on at Dahlonega, that they went to Bethel, but then later on it was called El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Because Bethel was the house of God, and they had made an altar there, but then later on when they went back to it, they called it El Bethel and said, we're here to worship the God of the house of God. His name is called El. E-L. And that's what was prophesied, that they said that they would be a virgin, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. God is with us. And that word E-L means the strong, the mighty one. And he was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he was the Messiah. He was called the Messiah. But my text is in Isaiah chapter number 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But there's only one name under heaven where all men is going to give praise. But there's three that bear record, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. But without controversy. And I'm not here to stir up no controversy. I'm just here to tell you like it is. And one thing that I'd heard back years ago, and I was listening to the Elder Sonny Piles, and he said he spent the first 20 years trying to explain the Trinity. And he said, I finally quit trying to explain it and just started preaching it. Why? Because we really can't explain it. You just have to preach it. But his name shall be called Wonderful. But he says, unto us a child is born. And I know we hear this one around Christmas every time, and it's a wonderful, good Christmas text. But he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, just like it had already happened. And that's why that even over in chapter number 7, when he's prophesying over here, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now you go over to Matthew, the first chapter, the last verse, and what do we see? He was called Emmanuel. Just like it had already happened. In the first gospel sermon in the Bible, in Genesis 3:16, says that of what had already happened. He says, the seed of the woman is going to bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent is going to bruise her, the seed of her heel. That's not exactly, but that was just like it had already happened. But now, Eve thought it was going to happen with her first son. I really believe that when Cain was born, she thought that that prophecy was going to be fulfilled. And then Cain did what he did and killed Abel. And then now, you know, her first son, that can't be true because it can't happen that way now. Well, my second son's gone. And then even when her next son was born, she thought that he was the Messiah. And see, everybody had been looking for it, just like it had already happened all through the Old Testament. And then when he says over here, unto us a child is born. I love how that the prophet Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, talking about the death, the burial, and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says over here in the 53rd chapter, if I can find it, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he hath bare their iniquities, just like it had already happened. And that's why that we see that these things in the New Testament was just is it happened. But unto us a child is born, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now every time I read that, I think of that sculpture with that guy, you know, the big muscle man in the globe standing on his shoulder. I think of that. But when I started looking at this, that's really not what the picture that he's talking about here, him putting his shoulder to it and pushing forward. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. You know, we live in the government of the Lord, the kingdom here on this earth. I tell you, some of the most beautiful things that we have today is the kingdom, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride adorned for her husband here in this kingdom that we have. We're not looking for a kingdom to come, and most every religion out there is still looking for a kingdom to come. And they think that the kingdom is going to even come back to Israel. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not, folks. We've already got it here. We're living in the kingdom. He says, my kingdom is not of this world, but his kingdom's in this world. His kingdom is on this world. And we, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is living in that kingdom. We're not looking for it to come. As many people says, it's going to come back to Israel again. Well, I tell you, I'd never had thought of this before, and Brother Herb Newsom was preaching for us at Shoal Creek this morning in a mighty powerful sermon. And he talked about over there in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah said that the Lord said to Israel that he divorced himself from him. I want to tell you, when people tell you today that the kingdom's going to come back to Israel without controversy, that's not happening, folks. His kingdom's already here. Right now, in here tonight, you're living in the kingdom. That's why we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, because we're in the kingdom. We don't have to. He says, my kingdom is at hand. You know what that means? It's right here. This Bible's at hand, folks. His kingdom's at hand. And it says, and his government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Why do you reckon they called his name Wonderful? Well, because he's wonderful. He's wonderful. And I took 5 Sundays to get through this verse. So I'm not going to get out. I'm not standing for 5 hours. I'm just going to let you know that right now. But he's wonderful. That's why it's capitalized. He's wonderful. And sometimes I wonder. There's wonder and awe. You know, that's what the psalmist David said, that he was awe. A-W. Isn't that how it's spelled? A-W. A-W-E. You know, there's a song out there, a very popular Christian song. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above. With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. You know, the word awesome is used a lot today. You know, a lot of people, they'll say something, they'll say, ooh, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one that's awesome. And it's God. And he's wonderful. His other name is Counselor. I tell you, when I got looking at Counselor, just go through the verses in Proverbs and see how much is said about good counselors and not so good counselors. And then I got to thinking, well, there's more, because I tell you, there's a lot of people today spending money on counselors. Now, I'm not saying the counselors are bad. I'm not saying that. I did one time, but I'm not saying that. I think there is good counselors out there. But if you're seeking a counselor, seek one that's seeking from the Counselor. And then I got to seeing one of the definitions of a counselor is an advocate. And if you ever remember the old Perry Mason stories, and you know, the judge would look over there at Perry Mason or other one and say, Counselor, the lawyer. But we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ, because he's that counselor. He's an advocate. He's the counselor. He's the one that stands between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. But then the Bible says there's 3 that bear record, but these 3 are one. I'm not going to try to explain that. But there's one that stands between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus was born just like all of us in here was born. I mean, just exactly like all of us. But he was different, because he didn't have an earthly father like we have, but he had a heavenly father, and here was a man that was without sin and without controversy. And I don't understand everything about Brother Dan when he said what he did, about how that probably the only one that really truly understood who Jesus was his mama. Because even his brothers and his closest friends, you know, wondered about this boy. And I guess I would too, because I mean, there's my daddy sitting there. I have 3 other brothers. And we used to fight. I'm just telling you, we had our skirmishes. And we picked on each other a lot. And we still do every chance we get. About every time we get together. But just think about this boy called Jesus. He's perfect. Never backtalked his mama. Never, as we'd say in the South, he never sassed his mama. Always obeyed his parents, Joseph and his mother. Always obeyed him. Sometimes I didn't like it when my brothers obeyed and I didn't. Now, let's put our place in, and of course, we've always thought there were some of our siblings, you know, that, well, Mama liked him better than they did me. Well, I don't think Mary loved Jesus more than she did her other natural born children. But you know what? Jesus was perfect. And his brothers and sisters wasn't. And Jesus had brothers and sisters. And one of them was named Jude. And he talked about his brother being wonderful. But there was a time that he didn't. Because even his brethren, you talking about, you know, there's a lot of things out there about bullying today. And it's bad. And I'm telling you, all of us has done it at some time or another, and I regret it. But just think about how Jesus was bullied when he was a kid. And you know what? He had the power to strike them dead if he wanted to. But he's wonderful. Counselor. He's our advocate. And then the two that I kind of lumped them together, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Because this one right here tears some folks out of the frame. And that somebody would say that this man that was born of Mary was the mighty God, the everlasting Father. But he was. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was rejected by his own people. He says he came unto his own and his own received him not. And even his own that was prophesied to here in Isaiah told exactly how that it was going to happen. Think about the time when Jesus came riding in on the colt, the foal of an ass. And they laid out the palm branches and sang Hosanna to him. I mean, that's exactly how it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Just exactly, verbatim. And I'm sure that they were some of the religionists of that day that knew God's word, said, wait a minute. I read this before. I know what's going on. Because it was written about in the prophets that he was going to come riding in on a donkey's colt. He defied nature even when he rode in on a donkey's colt. You know, we used to race some horses, and we raced some. We had a little filly one time and a colt one time, and I'm telling you, and even when we had cows, because I mean the horse was our pets, but now the cows, they just run around. But you know, once that baby was born, those two were inseparable. And when we had our horse and she had that first little filly, and how that once she got over that and we'd saddle up that horse and we'd get up on her and ride her, and that baby just follows wherever. We didn't have to put a halter or a bridle or nothing on that baby. I mean, we'd get back when you could ride a horse on Cox Road. Well, when you think about it today. But we used to ride horses right up and down from Kegel Road, Eatrice Road, Cox Road, all the way around. I mean, we couldn't wait till we got home from school to get our horses out. And here's that little old colt just falling right behind us. And the mama would turn around every now and then. But there was no way that us boys could ever tuck that colt and got on it and rode off away from its mama. But Jesus even defied nature when he got on a colt, the foal of an ass, the foal of a donkey, and went riding in. And another beautiful picture of that. I tell you, that just the beautiful picture of how that even God will take a nature of a sinner and change our nature. He's the only one that can do that. But he says he's wonderful. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He says he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, over in the last part of the book of Revelation, it said upon his vesture, and it, you know, there'd be a name above all names. Paul said he's got a name above all names. He's the great and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to tell you, I know a lot of people out there that they'll add names to people in hierarchies and especially in churches, but here's the Prince of Peace. But he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the great and only potentate. But what does it say over here in the last part of the book of Revelation? I tell you, every time I read that in I think it's the 19th chapter, I tell you, when I start reading it, it just kind of crescendos and gets larger and larger and larger, where he's talking about the voices and the praise of God. And I heard, as it were, in verse number 6, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us behold and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath have made herself ready, and to her was granted and should be arrayed in fine linen, white, clean and white, and fine linen, righteousness of the saints. And then he says, right, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And he fell down and worshiped him. See, he's the only one that would receive worship. That's why that when he was born in a manger, for unto us a child is born. What did the wise men when they went to Herod and said, we've seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him? Because these men knew the Ten Commandments and they knew that they wasn't going to worship nobody but God. And we've come to worship the one that this star is signaling. And then we go on, I tell you, it goes on in verse number 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then he says he came in riding on that horse with his vesture as it was dipped in blood, and all that followed him was riding on the horses clean and white, white linen. And that's what Jesus did for all of his people. He bore our sins that we're all white as snow. That's why he's the Prince of Peace. And when we do call upon one name, it's not with controversy, but he's got, and I've just touched, I mean, just how many more names that we can come up with the Lord? I mean, just name after names. I mean, we can go in, and Jehovah is one of his names. Yahweh. And there's just all these different names that God has, but there's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But I want to leave you with this. He says, it's needful for that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And that's what we're here tonight with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit God meeting among us in His kingdom. That we're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we can't even do it without Holy Spirit God. And He says, it's expedient for me to go away. Because Jesus had a purpose. For she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. That was his mission. And when mission was accomplished, guess what happened? He ascended back unto heaven. Mission accomplished, going home. That's what he told them. Now, that ain't King James Bible, but that's what he said when he ascended. Mission accomplished, going home. But you know what? He'll be just like when Stephen was being stoned and he looked up to heaven, and guess who he seen standing on the right hand of God? I think Holy Spirit God was with him right here on earth when he was getting pelted with all them rocks. But he looked up and he says, I see my Messiah, my Savior, my God standing on the right hand of God. And he died. And he went to where they were at. I'm looking forward to that day. The older I get, the more that I'm looking for it. Now, when I was young folks like some of these young folks here, I wasn't looking for it. But I tell you, the older I get, the more I'm looking forward to it. Because I'm kind of getting homesick. Because I'm ready to see my Savior. The Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.